Good morning, everyone.
If you'd open into your Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, we'll be reading from there in just a second. As I'm sure many of you have had similar conversations, recently I had a conversation with someone about how this year will be remembered with the pandemic particularly, but certainly the crisis of our society and all of the unevenness and unrest and distrust that's happening in our society. Even Sarah will tell her kids and her grandchildren how she graduated from nursing school without graduation ceremonies, as will many other people. So what will we look back on in this year, and what will it look like? Today our reading in Luke chapter 12 begins after Jesus' words that the very hairs of our heads are all numbered, that you are of more value than anything, Jesus says. And that's followed with a request from a brother who says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." That's in about verse 13. And Jesus responds in the Don Hooten vernacular, "Do you think I'm Judge Judy?" He says, Am I to be your judge?" The human heart, Jesus says, needs to be on guard, especially against every form of greed. Then Jesus tells the big barn parable of the rich man who was not rich toward God. And then Jesus says to his disciples in verse 22, read with me, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life, as to what you shall eat, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, but I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? And do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give it to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near, nor moth destroys. Be dressed for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So in response to the brother's appeal and the application of the parable, Jesus tells us to look at our heart. And in the discussion, when he talks to us about this heart that we're supposed to have as disciples in his kingdom, he talks about what you and I would think of as the basics of life. what there is to eat, what there is to wear. And I would say his application is to tell us to not be excessively distracted by our circumstance. When you consider the audience to which Jesus said these words, remember, of course, this is not the Sermon on the Mount. He has preached that in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5 through 7, at a different location. And while he repeats many of the same things he said in the Sermon on the Mount, this audience was a different audience. The audience that Luke has set up for us and told us the story, where there was a brother who thought his other brother was too greedy to share with him the father's inheritance. And that makes the point that, notice, Jesus in this application, in this context, says, consider the ravens. Now, I don't know if you know much about birds. My wife knows all about the birds. But ravens, to the Jew, were unclean. Leviticus 11, verse 15, Deuteronomy 14, verse 14, both affirm that that animal was regarded to be an unclean animal, unworthy of anything that the Jews would consider clean. And yet Jesus says to Jews, consider the raven. Those unclean creatures. Then he adds to that, consider them. They don't do what? They don't have storerooms. They don't have barns. They don't even sow, and they don't really reap. But God takes care of them. The animal that a Jew would look upon as ranked lowest in their value system, Jesus tells his audience, God feeds them. Now, not only does Jesus try to awaken his audience to recognize God's going to take care of you, but he's reminding them that you have your own value systems. There are people or things that you think are lower than you, the unclean things. God takes care of that too. And when you and I recognize that that truth that Jesus exhorts us to consider about our heart is that if we consider the raven, God will feed you too. But then Jesus retells, consider the lilies, verse 27. That they don't labor either, Jesus says. They grow, neither do they toil, nor they spin. But not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. Because what is it that they do? They sprinkle the grass with the beauty that God intended them to have. They array the fields of grass surrounding them with the beauty God designed in them. And so Jesus' point is, consider the lilies. God has designed you to shower upon the world the beauty he has designed in you. So God will dress you if you will be beautiful in the world the way God intended. Because what Jesus tells us is that when we look at the ravens and we look at the lilies, we ask ourselves then, what does worry really contribute? While it might be natural to feel this sense of anxiety in events that we cannot control, Jesus tells us it's profitless to allow that to rule our destiny. Worry casts doubts, not just upon our environment, but Jesus says worry casts doubt on God himself, because that's why he says, if God so arrays the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? A heart that trusts God is the only way we can enter into the kingdom. This is not how the world of Jesus' day looked at life. They secured their destiny and their physical concerns and believe that in securing their physical domains and their physical environments, they were creating security for their lives. And Jesus says, the way you're going to create security for your life is by trusting God. Because he promised the disciples, notice in verse 30, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. Notice that Jesus has moved from describing him as God. Jesus has moved beyond describing him as king. Now Jesus has moved to describing him as your Father. Notice he doesn't impersonalize him and call him the Father. Jesus says, even your Father knows that you need these things. Faith is not belief without proof. Faith is trust without reservation. Jeff Trahan said that a long time ago in a sermon. So when Jesus makes this application then in verse 31, so seek for his kingdom and these things will be added to you. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus will say, seek first his kingdom and all these things will be added to you. That the only way the kingdom will ever have its meaning, the only way the kingdom will ever have its application, and was when we recognize that God is more than just our God, when we recognize that God is more than just your king, but when we recognize that God is our Father and God is our shepherd. That's why he says in verse 32, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. God is your God, God is your king, God is your Father, but God is your shepherd. When we trust, we find the doorway to the kingdom easier to enter. So when Jesus begins these applications, what he's telling them in considering the raven, considering the lily. Verse 29, do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink, and don't keep worrying. But I want you to notice the application he finally makes in verse 33. Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourself purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. In the context, Jesus makes an application differently than he does in the sermon. Where he tells us in the Sermon on the Mount that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And we turn that to recognize that we look for spiritual things. But in the New American Standard in verse 33, and after telling us to sell our possessions and give to charity, he says, make yourselves those purses which do not wear out. He calls for us to care. He calls for us to become like God is as our king and as our Father is and as our shepherd is. He calls for us to shape in our heart the heart that we see in our Father who is our shepherd and who is our king. If we don't need to be worried, if we'll consider the ravens and the lilies, then we don't need to worry about being generous. Who was this audience he was talking to? Were they the big league, top 10, most wealthy Jews in the time? Were they the religious leaders who Jesus describes flocking the nation of Israel because they lived off of everyone else? Is the audience that he's describing people who are entrepreneurial in their spirit and they have made their lives and they've made of themselves great enormous things? Is that the people that Jesus is talking to? Even Luke reminds us in Jesus' beatitude, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I think Jesus was surrounded not with people who were wealthy, who had enormous savings accounts to share with people, but people who had very little. You know, Jesus says that God is going to take care of you. And he calls for them to take care of each other. He tells the poor to take care of the poor. Because he says, I call upon you to make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven. Make yourself this treasure that God sees from heaven. That in the world you are showering upon the world the presence and the reality of what the divine light and the divine love truly is. You will have God's heart. Because a life attached to possessions becomes a stumbling block, evidenced by the man's question. Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus is answered by saying, of course, I'm not going to be Judge Judy for you, but you have to realize that greed affects everybody. And then tells the parable of the man who has built all these barns and tells his soul to rest because he'd lived his life accomplishing in his life only the things that he wanted for himself. And so a life attached to possessions becomes the stumbling block that creates anxiety. When we learn to trust God, then ultimately we learn how to live. And Jesus says disciples should be different. Remember that people and needs with God have always been more important than anything else. Jesus Christ did not die for an institution. Jesus Christ did not die for a country. Jesus Christ died for people. And so Jesus' exhortation to us to be these different disciples whose hearts have been shaped by God is that we will understand that people and needs must have priority over possessions and ownership. That's evidenced in Acts chapter 4. If you remember the text that we've been using these last couple of weeks about capturing again and retaining and regaining the mission that God has given us as a church. That's to which we were called. The collective church can only be what each of us by faith will choose to be individually in our hearts. We can only be godly if we will choose to be like God. So the application then is this. This reaches deep within us about what it really means to belong to the kingdom. It isn't just showing up at church. Belonging in the kingdom isn't really just about writing a check. Belonging in the kingdom isn't really just about cooking a coconut cream pie. And even in Jesus' illustration in Matthew 25, giving a cup of cold water. Jesus doesn't want your heart disconnected from what your hand is holding. This reaches deep within inside of us. Because we live a life where we want to feel secure. We like to feel within our lives that we have control of what's going on. And we can do that. We can create our own little safe environment. Politically, people in our world are forever trying to create and coerce a world where there is everything that is safe. We could even create a world where we've created so many controls that all we ever hear from other people is the accolades that they give us. But we'll fool ourselves if we think we'll ever be able to do that. So the first step toward the kingdom is to know better. To first surrender ourselves to the reality that we have a Father who cares for us. Surrender yourself to the reality that God cares about everyone who he has created. God doesn't care just about Dawn. God cares about Jennifer. God cares about Mitch. God cares about all of us and not just the people that are inside this building. Jim and John and Joe and Susie and Emma. Random names that just came to my head. Wherever they may be in this world, no matter the color of their skin, no matter the origin and the place that they have in society, surrender yourself to the reality that God cares for all of them. Consider the raven. Consider the lily. If God so cares for them, Jesus says, will he not care for you? And surrender yourself to the fact that he is the king. We must surrender ourselves to the fact that we have a Father who cares for us, but we must surrender ourselves to a king who has rule over us. Seek first his kingdom, Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, in Luke 12 in verse 31, seek for his kingdom. You must seek out the rule that Jesus will give in your life, but the only way you will seek it and you will find it is because you want to yield to it. The people who can't ever find Jesus are the people who are trying to control their lives. The people who can't ever find Jesus are the people who are trying to orchestrate in their lives absolute control so that they'll always feel secure. You have to surrender yourself to the fact that the king is the ruler. And that also means that once you've surrendered yourself to the fact that he is king, you'll live your life in obedience to him. You won't argue with him and say, I don't like worship that way. You won't debate an argument that says, well, the church isn't going to be that way because I want the church to be this way. You will surrender yourselves to the role that he is the king because your heart has been shaped to know better. And last, you'll surrender yourselves as Jesus exhorts in this lesson to service. The obstacle is that we think we need to get our lives in order. We need to get more money in the bank. We need to be the kind of people who look better and smell better and perform better before we can ever serve anyone. Notice what Jesus is saying this to and who. He's saying, I want you to be the person who, notice he says, that you are a purse which will not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. We are the most useful when we see our life in his care. We are the most useful when we see our life in his comfort rather than in the comfort we are trying to generate for ourselves. The call of God will never take us to a place where the grace of God cannot sustain us. So this week, I exhort you. Quit looking at your bank account. Quit looking at your abilities. And start looking at your opportunities. For the people around us whose hearts are broken or down or discouraged because of everything that is going on in this world, don't wait for everything in this world to get right before you start serving. Look at the people around us who are struggling even within our fellowship. People who have lost jobs, people who are nervous of losing jobs, people who have lost family members, people who are just living their life day to day, fearful and scared. Quit trying to build up in your life some kind of controls that show the world that this is, man, this is how you're going to make it all work out. Just reach out your hand and help. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys. The call of God will never take you to a place where God's grace can't sustain you.